Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome back to today's Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to me in the studio, and we talk about the center, our programs, or about social justice. Our visitor today is Marie Corbett. Welcome, Marie. Thank you for coming here, and a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you.
Marie is a counselor and clinical supervisor who lives and works in Oriwa. Marie has a 25 years experience in comprising couples counseling, family court meditation, management, and therapy and mental health, hospice, family support. You will facilitate a workshop on Enneagram at our Mercy Spirituality Center from the 16th to the 18th of May, Marie.
Yes.
The Enneagram of Personality, it is a tool of ancient origin. What is the background of Enneagram and why is it still relevant today?
The background is that the Enneagram arrived in the Sufi tradition around the 14th century from the Greek origin of its name. And there was an order of Sufism known as the Brotherhood of the Bees.
Brotherhood of the Bees? So what does that mean?
Well, they collected and stored knowledge. So they were likened to bees. And they taught through symbols. And this is said to have actually preserved the Enneagram tradition and the fact that it was actually taught through symbols.
So it was not through words or the teaching of certain teachers, but it was that symbol.
Yes, and that was passed down orally. It found its way into esoteric Christianity through one of the Neoplatonists, possibly a Raymond Lull, but it was recently a Russian teacher, Gurdjieff, who taught a set esoteric knowledge and was a contemporary of Freud, who used the Enneagram. And this alludes back to the Brotherhood of the Bees because he discovered it in the Sufi monastery in Afghanistan and brought it into present day time. And it was also taught in South America and found in other Latin American countries and also in Europe throughout the world.
So it's really worldwide. Mm. Started in Greece,
yeah.
And then from Greece to Afghanistan, Latin America, and all over in the world.
Yes, yes.
You said it started in Greece.
Yes.
And I remember from my school time that the Greek words ennea and grammar means literally drawn or written nine.
Yes. Yes, nine.
Can you explain to me what the enneagram has to do with the written nine?
Yes. The Enneagram is a personality style which encompasses the use of nine types of personality, which are very clearly defined and very able to be picked up and worked with immediately. The names of these types, starting with the one, is known as the perfectionist or the reformer. The one can be principled, purposeful, and perfectionist. The two is known as the carer or the helper, and the two can be demonstrative, generous, warm, people-pleasing, sometimes possessive. The three, the achiever or performer, is adaptive, excelling, chameleon-like, driven, and image-conscious. The four is expressive. The four is called the romantic or the individualist. They can be very dramatic, self-absorbed, temperamental, artistic. Some of the greats were fours, Picasso, Mozart, etc. The type five is known as the observer, and they are very perceptive, innovative. They can be secretive, and they can isolate themselves. The type six is the loyalist or the trooper. The six is engaging, reasonable, hardworking. They can be anxious and suspicious. The type 7, the adventurer, is full of fun and light-hearted, spontaneous, versatile, and can be scattered when they get out of sync. The type 8, the leader, manager, The boss is self-confident, decisive, confrontational, even protective. The type 9, the peacemaker who sits at the top of the circle, is known as a mediator, peacemaker, receptive, reassuring, very agreeable and quite complacent. Mm-hmm. So those are the 9 types.
So the we can summarize, it's the investigator. I know it starts with the reformer.
Yes.
Then the helper.
Yes.
The achiever.
Yes.
Then the individualist. Mm-hmm. The investigator. Yeah. The loyalist. The adventurer or enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Challenger or manager. The peacemaker.
That's it. Yes.
And so when you say that you work with the Enneagram and you use a narrative tradition, can you tell me more about it? Is it about talking? Because narrative, talking,
yes.
Telling stories?
Yes, you're onto it. It is. The narrative tradition involves the use of storytelling and bringing the Enneagram alive, and this is what the course will be about. It calls for panels to come forward and sit down and talk about their various types. So we may have 3 to 5 people sitting at the front and talking about the way they have managed their lives.
Where do the panelists come from? Are they from the participants?
They're from previous participants who have become really keen on the Enneagram and want to study it more deeply. And so every year we source them from various places and keep a database of panelists and bring them in, invite them in. They're very good to give up their time. They're very reliable people, and we enjoy having them.
So they know their type. They know what type they belong to?
They're very clear about their type. We make sure that they have investigated their type fully and made the most of it and understand how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings a richness, the narration of people brings a richness and a quality to this, the Enneagram, because it's in people's stories that we really remember.
Mm-hmm.
We really remember where our home base is as we line ourselves up with their stories.
So the fact that you are always able to find panelists shows that the people appreciate your program and that they like Enneagram because they continue as volunteers.
Yes.
In the panel discussions.
Quite true. One woman said to me today, I saw that the weekend was on about 2 months ago, so I penciled it in. So she didn't even need an invitation. That was wonderful.
Can you give me an example of one of the panelists? Because you said the panelists are people who are very clear about the personality. Because when I see the challenger or loyalist, investigator, I can imagine that there are lots of people who have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But you say for the panel, the panelists are really clear. Can you give us some typical examples of some of the types?
Certainly. We have the 9 panel, which is run by the type, the peacemaker come mediator, who sit quietly back in their chairs with their arms folded, ready to be very harmonious and very conciliatory and tell you anything that you want to know in their time. So they're a lovely way to actually end the weekend. And then we have the 7s who are the adventurers who come on a bit earlier. The adventurers are often very brightly dressed and they have quite a lot to say because they're good at performing. So they tell us everything we want to know and more in a way that's extremely rich because they tell wonderful stories. So when the Enneagram 7 panel is on and the adventurers are sitting there, it is an entertainment. It's like a piece of theatre and people laugh and laugh and laugh. And going back earlier to the 4s, the romantic individualists who want to be different, they also often feel that nobody else in the room can possibly understand who they are because they are so unique. Okay. And so there's a lovely lightheartedness about the way we talk about our styles and our types. And there's a lot of tolerance involved, because when you learn that you're different, you also learn how to tolerate other people more easily.
Yeah. It must be quite eye-opening for those who think that they are unique, and then they realize that there are others who are also this unique.
Yes, absolutely. It's very, very funny. And it's also very wonderful, because it talks about an acceptance of the self that is probably new to many people.
Sounds very interesting. For those who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk. This program is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center in Epsom. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz, Muffin Talk, or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Marie Corbett. She is the facilitator of a workshop on Enneagram, which will be held in the Mercer Spirituality Center from the 16th to the 18th of May. Marie has told us about the history of the Enneagram and about the different types of personalities that are part of the Enneagram, 9 different types, and she's given us a few examples. That's really interesting. What draws you to the Enneagram? Is it the fun, the adventure?
It's a little bit of that. And it's also has a deep, rich meaning for me. The Enneagram is a spiritual journey, if you want it to be. Several years ago, a colleague gave me some information on the Enneagram. And of course, being the type that I am, I was far too busy to look at it and put it in the drawer. Got it out 2 years later and was absolutely transfixed by how easy it was to work out my type, mm-hmm. and then to go from there. So I'm drawn to the Enneagram because of its journey, its spiritual meaning, and also the fact that if people want to use it as a self-actualizing tool, they can. And it can be taken as far or as short a journey as you want to make it.
You call it tool. Why do you say tool?
It's a skill that people can actually adapt to use within their families, with their loved ones, but also in the workplace, and more than that, for their self-growth and their own divine journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I've heard that Helen Palmer once said that Enneagram was a learning experience for healthy people who wanted to grow. Do you also believe that it's only for healthy people?
No, I don't. I believe that it can be used for absolutely everybody, whatever healthy is.
Yes.
However, what she was talking about too was that for many of us working in the people field, there's a lot of pathology that we work with and we study and we learn about. Helen Palmer says that the Enneagram spreads across the broad spectrum of all people and anybody who wants to actually find out a little bit more about themselves and others.
So that it helps to grow in this way. So how does Enneagram help people to grow? Can you explain that a little bit better, because you were using the word grow quite a few times now, and I wonder what can I do with it? So if I go through this program and I find out what type I am, mm-hmm. How does it help me to grow?
There's a little story about climbing into a box and then climbing out of the box again. So just a tiny quote, the Enneagram teaches us in early life that we learn to feel safe and cope with our family situations and our personal circumstances by developing a strategy based on our natural talents and abilities. So we learn to climb into the box that fitted best for our situation. It's also now spoken that perhaps the Enneagram comes in with us, just as our unique fingerprints do. From there, as we grow, we are very much in our Enneagram space by the time we're 16 to about 30. Now, the other part of this and growth is that from there on, many of us seek to improve ourselves. And so the whole point of the weekend and the course is to help us climb out of the box, to understand what the box is made of, and to actually learn how to become our unique, authentic selves as a result of understanding our defences and how we first managed ourselves for those first years of our life.
So within the first 16 years, that these are the decisive years when you could find out what type you are if you try it. But that's, and then you are in a box, as you say. So you are, for example, you are the helper. Then you're in the box and you are the helper.
Yes.
And
the helper might believe that they can receive love by always being there for everybody else. But in that process, they might forget who they really are.
They forget their own, because they are not individualists.
Yes. Right.
And they neglect their own health, for example, or they are looking forward to always help, always be there, and they will be frustrated if they are not received, Esther.
Yes. And, for example, on the Saturday, I've had a conversation already with one of the panelists who falls into the carer role, the type two, who said, I've had to learn how to be more like the four, and that is by taking more time for myself and looking after my own needs.
So the four was the individualist.
Yes, correct. You're really onto that, because actually that's the journey, that's the path for the two to take if they want to take up the healthy aspects of the four. Now, all of that's signified by arrows which intersect the circle of the Enneagram. And
yes, you just mentioned the circle. And before that, we were talking about the symbol. And the symbol was one reason why Enneagram survived over hundreds of years.
Yeah.
I have this symbol in front of me, and I see that numbers 1 and 1, 2, 3 are clockwise in a circle.
Yes.
And then 6, 9, and 3 are in one triangle.
Yes, within the circle.
And all figures are connected and are all look all equal. Mm. None of them seems to be better than the other. Is that something that I interpret right?
You do. All of the types are equal. They have negative and positive aspects to them, but all of them are equal. And you can only really be one particular primary type.
So you can have secondary types.
Yes, and that's coming in the teaching. You can have a wing, which might influence you slightly, but you will always be of the one type. So if you hear people saying, I was in my two type, but then I went to my 9, and then I was in my 7, that can't be possible. Although we do have all the traits of the types within us, our actual essence speaks to being only of the one type or home base.
So when you learn about your type and you see the risks of your own type, for example, the individualists who are only thinking of him or herself, and then the person says, well, I would like to change, but I'm stuck in my box. Mm. So the person could learn about the other types, or have friends from the other types who can remind him, now you should think of somebody else.
And they can also take the walk that the arrows takes for them within the symbol and go towards adopting a career path or something that they do with all of their heart and absorb themselves in the service of others.
So when you talk about the arrows go from 7 to 1, for example. That means from the enthusiast to the reformer.
Yes, they can do. And now you're getting into some wonderful stuff, because actually that is the path that you follow where the arrow goes if you are stressed. So the 7 can become more like the 1, and that's not so healthy for the 7. And the opposite link for the arrows is where you walk against the arrows, and that is your path of integration or self-actualization or improvement. So going against the arrows is a bit like walking up a river against the stream coming down towards you. And we know that improvement's not easy. It's easier to actually slip into the old ways than it is to actually go against the arrows and improve yourself. And that's how it works.
So you, when you are type, let's just keep with type 7. Mm-hmm. If you are type 7 and you are drawn towards 1, and you become aware of what's happening, then you might, so the goal is not to go too fast or not too strong?
Yes, and the goal is for the 7 to tone themselves down and become, we call it sobriety, actually, where they take on a more quiet, steady opportunity to move and to work in that way, so they can harness their wonderful adventurous spirit and make it so much more easy to work with by becoming, as we say, sober.
So the seven, the adventurist, is drifting towards the reformer.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite, the other arrow that comes to seven, which would be against the arrow, would be investigator. So the,
which is going towards the five,
yes,
which is the observer.
Okay, so that the adventurist would be called to think about observing before, yes, starting with the adventure.
Before acting.
Mm-hmm.
And also they can also learn how to organise themselves and amass knowledge and be centred and learn to be with themselves,
mm-hmm,
before they actually jump off the bungee or do some of the things that adventurers like to do, which is take risks.
So in a way, it's all about learning something about yourself,
mm-hmm,
and then learning how to better interact with the people around you.
Yes.
And so can you give me some examples of what people say after your workshops? You've done it for a while.
Yes, it's wonderful when people come in the door, and one man came in the door. He was young. He arrived with his sister, and I asked people, why are you here? What's drawn you to this weekend? And he said, well, she dragged me here. And I thought to myself, he's got to be a peacemaker, a nine. He's so amenable. He came because his sister dragged him. He really enjoyed himself and found that all of those qualities that he had could be celebrated.
Good.
Mm.
So he left the seminar, the workshop, with a very positive attitude.
Yes, yes he did.
Can you give me some more examples?
Oh, goodness.
When people, because I'd like to see what, if I participate in this workshop,
mm-hmm,
except for knowing what I am and knowing how I could grow, what else can you tell me about?
Okay. In terms of the type three, the achiever, the performer, I often ask people, can you remember as a child making a decision about life and how you might want to live? And a person said to me from the type three, oh, I just knew that I had to get this poor, sad family of mine out of the doldrums. So I taught myself how to play the piano with two hands, and I taught myself how to dance and tap dance. And I used to put on these concerts for everybody, whether they wanted me to or not. And that was how I believed I could cheer up my family. So often people can draw from earlier experiences which have actually caused them to operate in a certain way. Now, the other part of this is the matching up of types who actually become partners,
mm-hmm,
or create a relationship. And it's often where the two types come together and are really quite celebratory together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a yin and a yang.
Yes.
Eights, who are the leaders, boss types, will often or sometimes have relationships with fours,
mm-hmm,
who are the romantics and in touch with their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really nice yin and yang type of, mm-hmm, experience for the relationship.
There are some other programs out there who seem to be similar to the Enneagram. What makes the Enneagram different to them?
I believe it's in the symbol, and I believe that it's quite encapsulated, and it's been kept very pure and classical, mm-hmm, in its own way. The Enneagram does align quite well with the Myers-Briggs, and is, there's documented evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that once you name a type, you can pick up and go with that. You can investigate where you stand from that one place, and all the rest follows.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a simplicity, I believe, that comes from being handed down as a symbol.
Yeah, sounds very interesting. I think that it's a good way to spend the weekend, get to know more about yourself, and then also to know how to better interact with your neighbors, the people around you.
Yes.
And so it's three days.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about the program? So on the first day on Friday the 16th, you'll start at 6:30 p.m.
Correct.
until 9 p.m.
That's the exciting part, where the first lot of information is given out. That's the very important part of the evening, where I ask people to start discovering where their home base is.
Mm-hmm.
And all nine types will be put up on the wall, so they're interactive and people can go and stand and study the types and work out where they might belong. Now, some people take 2 minutes to do that. Others take a year. But however, that's their journey. That's absolutely their right.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, we crack the code. I give them something to take away and read, which is coded. And from there, they can actually choose their path without the names or mm-hmm. without the numbers. And it's actually just alphabeticalized. So there's and mixed up. So mm-hmm. you can choose.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, we code them. Then we go on to share the gifts and the shadows of the home base, the things that trip us up and the things that make us better.
Yeah.
And that's great fun. And then, of course, the panels start to kick in. The first panel, type one, will be on the Saturday morning. And so there's entertainment with the panel.
Yes.
And then there's learning. And there's a very good experience at Mercy Centre because it's a warm, loving environment for people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's of a positive nature, the whole course. So on the way through, we go through various types of learning and giving out of information intersected by the panels all the way. So there are five panels on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, we look at our fixations and our addictions.
Just a moment. When you say five panels, that means five different types will be introduced explained?
Yes,
okay. mm-hmm.
they will.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come in as according to time frames, and they will discuss who they are. Then on the Sunday morning, we start in with the very early panel. 9:30 is the sixes, but they're really reliable people, the sixes, so it's good if they're on first.
Yes.
And then we keep going with the learning. And I mentioned fixations and addictions, the things that we get into when our stress levels become high, and how to lose some of those and how to manage them. So good as gold, yes.
Great. So sounds very interesting.
Hmm.
Thank you, Marie, for your explanations on Enneagram.
Thank you.
For any further questions on Enneagram or feedback on our Muffin Talks, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And I would like to draw your attention now to some upcoming events in our Mercy Spirituality Center. On Wednesday, the 21st of May, Philip Hadley will talk about how is Jesus present. And on Thursday, the 22nd of May, Father Stuart Zeller will have a retreat day, The Lost Son, a retreat aimed at encouraging people who feel lost, abandoned, or empty. It's a whole day retreat. And then, of course, 16th to 18th of May, the Enneagram with Marie Corbett. The fee for all 3 days is $175. For more information, please have a look at our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And if you've tuned in later and would like to listen to the whole interview with Marie Corbett, you can do this at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. Thank you very much, Marie, for coming here and being ready to answer all my questions.
Thank you, Beata.
Have a lovely day. Thank you.